sin, 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 sin. What's that song? How can I keep from singing? If there were a theme this morning, it might be, how can I keep from sinning? And Judith McDaniel, my homiletics professor at Virginia Theological Seminary, used to tell us that when preparing for sermons, one key to writing a good one was to read the text assigned for the day and to find that passage or the portion of Scripture that felt like a pebble under your foot, and then to try to wrestle with that. I found the pebble in today's epistle in the reading from the first letter of John. I don't know if you heard it, but here's what it says. No one who abides in him sins. And no one who sins has either seen him or known him. Does that sound like good news to you? No one who abides in him sins, and no one who sins has either seen him or known him. We could hear this passage is quite discouraging, to say the least. I suppose that there aren't any sinless people gathered here this morning, which means, according to this epistle from John, that none of us have seen God or known God. John likes his pronouns, so I say it like that so it's clear. If none of us is without sin, nobody here is abiding in Christ. None of us have seen God, and none of us know God. And according to that logic, from there it only gets worse. Since none of us are ever going to be capable of living a sinless life, none of us will ever see God, and none of us will ever know God. Great. Good morning and welcome to the good news. Amen. Good luck. So what do we do? What now? Slow down. Channeling Simon and Garfunkel. You move too fast. You know how I love Holy Scripture. So I just stuck with it this week. There are three letters attributed to John in the New Testament. Scholars note that the author of this epistle is not the same one who wrote the Gospel according to John, but was an elder writing about a decade later to members of a faith community that considered his gospel, John's that is, to be authoritative. The second and third letters are incredibly short, each taking up just a half page in your Bibles. They're addressed to individuals. The first to the elect lady and her children, and the second to the beloved Gaius, both of whom John says he loves in truth. When reading John's letters, those that have read or know John's gospel with even just a slight bit of familiarity will see that the letters are commentaries, in a sense, on the primal calling of John's gospel. You know what that is, right? We hear it every year on Maundy Thursday during Holy Week. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. The first letter of John is a little longer than those others, and it reads more like a sermon than a letter. In the second chapter, we read that John is preaching to the little children, to fathers, and to the young. If preaching in our time, John would be reminding the little ones in godly play, the kids in children's chapel, in Rite 13, J2A, senior youth, and to all of us here in big church, that God's command is one and the same for all of us who sin, that we strive to love one another just as God has loved us. This is good news, and yet is a sinless life the only way to know God? Is that what John is saying? I don't know what you heard the first time you heard this passage, but I'm going to read it again. Listen with your heart. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When he, God, is revealed, we'll be like him. For we'll see God as God is. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that God was revealed to take away sins. And in God there is no sin. So no one who abides in God sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as God is righteous. It took some time for me to get where I am now, but after wrestling with these words and with what I think is the heart of the message of this ancient letter of John's, one that we will be reading for the remainder of this season of Easter, by the way, is something vastly different than my first impression. At first, all I could hear was a message of judgment, judgment of me, judgment of you, that because of our sin, yesterday's, tomorrow's, and the next day's, we cannot and will not ever, for that matter, abide with God. Not good news. But now what I hear is just the opposite. Now what I hear is in John's homily is that despite our sins, God is ever walking with us, that God is always forgiving, always loving, hating the sin, but loving the sinner, as we say. Now what I hear is not, no one who sins has ever seen God or known God, but rather, no one who abides in sin knows just how forgiving our God is. Knowing the depth of God's forgiveness is the heart of the message of Easter for the church and for the world. Our sin, and yes, the sins of the world, yesterday's and tomorrow's and the next day's, have already been forgiven. We are keen to remember that this is not, as theologians like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and so many others have reminded us, an invitation to bathe in the delusion that God's grace is cheap or not costly in some sense. Or certainly that grace is something we can earn. Because ultimately God's grace is something that we have to accept. And that in accepting God's grace and forgiveness, we're not given a license for recklessness, or in John's words, lawlessness, but rather we are invited to love others as God has loved us, despite the reality of who we all are mired in our sin. See what love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when God is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see God as God is. God, I long for that day, don't you? The world longs for that day. Syria longs for that day. In our customary time in silence, of silence in response to the gospel, and especially in this season of hope and forgiveness, perhaps we might pray that God is revealed to us, made known. That somehow we come to know God in such a way that we can also make God known. Open the eyes of our faith that we may behold God in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.